it will bless each and every one of us. Before we proceed, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you guide us in our discussion this morning, that, Father, you make us understand even the things I'm trying to teach. Even I may not do a very good job of it, but Holy Spirit, take control in Jesus' name and do the job to your glory. Even in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So today we will discuss on a very important topic. I'm going to call it Nuggets of Financial Wisdom, Part 1. Nuggets. Nugget is like a gold nugget or silver nugget. And it's Financial Wisdom, Part 1. As we proceed this morning, I want especially the younger generation to pay attention on some of the things I have to say. I'll read most of them from some of the things I quickly jotted down, and then we discuss. Next week, if we have time, we do more of question and answers or contributions from everybody or anybody who wants to participate. Nuggets of Financial Wisdom, Part 1. Benny, can you put up the scripture, John 1:2. Please let us be fast about this and so that we can finish on time. 3 John 1:2. If you don't have it, I'll read it from my inscription as we continue. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Please, can somebody put this screen that is opposite me? Can you turn it on? Anybody just turn it on? I was looking at that. I didn't know you already have turned it on. Thank you. So you say, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Nuggets of Financial Wisdom, Part 1. I said, as believers, there is only one way for us to have financial peace. Only one way for me and you to have financial peace. We must walk with the Prince of Peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said also, if you obey God's principle on money, you can claim Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. This is one of the scriptures that every Christian quote and claim. And we have a right to quote it or claim it. But God is honor bound to honor this scripture when you fulfill your own part. And the part is, if you obey God's principle on money, then God is honor bound to fulfill this scripture for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I once saw a quote about money that made sense to me. A little of a sense. It kind of jammed. That quote said, there are two things wrong about money. Too much of it can be a problem, or too little of it. And I thought about it, and I thought that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, Proverbs 38 agrees with it. Can you open it up for us, please? I believe it's Proverbs 38. Too much of money or too little of it. And Bible say, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with convenient food. I want you to pay attention. There is nothing wrong with riches. It depends on your description of what is convenient here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is convenient is up to an individual discretion. The Bible teaches us not to be too stingy with money or too loose with money. It puts up the book Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Before we go into discussion, we're going to go through some of this scripture. Luke 6:38, please, quickly. Luke 6:38. The Bible teaches us not to be too stingy or too loose with money. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. People want the part that is given unto me, but not the type, the part that is say give. But here is God's word, or the principle, one of the main principles about money here. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For with the measure that you mete withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, this principle is also inclusive in giving to the household of God, in tithe and offering, but also in giving to people. First and foremost, them that are of the household of faith, according to Bible. Then to the people outside, to charitable organization, to people in need, to the beggar you saw on the street that you know needed that help, or to somebody who approached you for help. But how can you give what you don't have? How are you going to give somebody $10 when you don't have $5? That is the truth. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20. Also, in going back to what we say, that the Bible teaches us not to be too stingy or to be too loose with money. Proverbs 21, 20. Please, let's hurry up. There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spended it up. King James said that a fool is soon, one of the saying that I said, a fool is soon parted with their money. We are going to go into this in detail as God gives us grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you are not to be loose with your money. You are not to be stingy with your money. The wisdom of it is that too little might be too much of a problem. And too much of it might also be a problem, because some people, when they have a lot of it, they start to despise God. But God has promised us something according to the scripture, food that is convenient for me and for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to address all the children. I'm glad that many of our children are already here this morning. You children that are sitting here listening to the things I'm going to read out now, pay attention. You are parents, because many of us here are immigrants and many are not. But even those who are born here, listen. You are parents by virtue of coming from third world country. Are planning later in life. Planning later meaning that they are planning a little later in life financially. The reason is because we uprooted ourselves at a point to migrate to a new country and have to start from the beginning with many obstacles, immigration obstacles, change of environment, adapting to new environment, change of career, social demands. But you children that are born or brought here at a very tender age do not have these limitations. So by virtue, if any of us, after being uprooted in our 20s and 30s and 40s, and came here with nothing and started from the beginning, and we are doing well, I expect every one of you, you have no excuse not to do better than all of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have no excuse. And I'm going to point out why you don't have excuses as we go ahead. If I should come here in my 20s or 30s or whatever, no very good education, no, people can hear it, barely hear my accent, even though some people tell me, even till today, your accent is still too thick. That is okay. You guys don't have that problem. You can adapt. You know what this nation is about. You have freedom to get good education, go to colleges, be anything you want to be. If we can come here and measure up and do better than people here, I expect every one of our children, whether you are born here or brought here, to do better than us financially and in every aspect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have no excuse. Your parents are not abusers, they are not drunks, they are not this and that. They are working hard and teaching you the Christian principle. Amen? So, quickly here. Statistics, using Bible statistics, and also by a man called Dr. McDonald, to tell you that Bible is not against you doing well financially, he says statistics of 38 parables, 38 parables in the Bible, 16 is about money. 50% of the parables is about money out of 38 in the whole scriptures. How to use it and how to keep it from using you. About 500 verses are in prayer in the Bible. About 500 verses of the scriptures, I want you children to pay attention. Don't you talk to yourself, look at me and listen. About 500 verses in the faith ministry, 2,000 verses are about financial matters in the Bible. This is to teach you that finance is important. I know some children just came in now, so I'm going to repeat one thing I said. I said that you have no excuse to be a failure. You have no excuse not to do better than your parents. Because many of us uprooted ourselves in our old age and came here, and we are faced with many challenges. Things like immigration, which you don't have. Career changes, adapting to new environment, social demands, but you don't have any of these challenges. So I expect you guys to do well and be able to support the scripture, the gospel, and be able to do well by yourself. None of you shall ever hold a sticker on the side of the road and say, I want money for food in Jesus' name. None of you should ever be a vagabond. None of you should ever be in debt. You shouldn't. And I meant what I'm saying. If you plan well and do well, you will reap the reward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Debt and poverty is a bondage. Whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not, it is true. Debt and poverty is a bondage. Financial deliverance is a gradual, step-by-step process from the day you decide to take that step. Financial deliverance can start when you are 10. It can be when you are 20 or 30 or 40. Or some of us in our 50s that woke up to the fact of financial deliverance. And we start believing God and walking towards it. You have opportunity to plan your financial deliverance. Some of you that are 10 or 15 or 20s. So you are not caught unawares. Don't follow the system of what we have here. And here is the system of what we have here as of today. I says here, let me just read that past. Step-by-step process from the day you decide to take that step. If you don't wake up to these facts about financial deliverance, you may be broke or poor when you are in your 20s, and still be broke when you are in your 30s, and still be broke in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, and so on. And unfortunately, if you are broke, you may pass down to your children the same quality. I saw people, some of my clients, who have lived in the same neighborhood, the same house, the same place, of their third generation. I went to a house, 16 people are living in this house. Great-grandfather is there, grandfather is there, father is there, the children are still there, they will not leave that place. Because when I came in the morning, they were smoking weed. Nobody is hurrying to go to work. I told my patient, I cannot treat you in this condition because you are going to get infected. There is smoke, cigarette, this thing all over. That is what you call generational curse. If you set that in motion, your children may inherit it. Here is what America have inherited as of today. And it is not our portion in Jesus' name. Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 62% have less than $1,000 saving in their bank account. 62%, this is a true fact, and I want you to listen. 62% of America have less than $1,000 saved in their bank of America, in their saving account. 21% have no saving account at all. They go to what is that thing they have on the side of the street? When you get a check, you go there to cash your check. What is it called? Quick check cash or something. And I asked some person, why do you have to pay 3% to go cash your checkbook? They have their reasons. They don't want anybody to know they have a bank account, or they can't afford to have a bank account. That is bad. I said 49%, 21% have no saving account. Up to 49 or 80, 82 million Americans rely on Social Security or some type of welfare to survive the next day. That is what we are facing. You say, well, these are the poor people. It's not only the poor people. That's why we're going to this quickly. 80% of NFL, what is NFL again? Those people that play national football, this thing. 80% of them, 60% of NBA go broke or struggles 2 years after retirement. I doubted this, and God had a way for me to treat a patient who was an NFL retired person. He told me how much he made in his life, told me the country he has been to, told me the things he has done. He is broke. I'm telling you the truth. He's a wonderful black guy, 6 foot something tall, looking good and everything, but he is broke. Why do I know he's broke? I treated him under Medicaid. That is social welfare. And he told me he's now driving a cab, this thing, to be able to meet his bills. I'm not saying so. In fact, I communicate with him often. This is a fact. So don't tell me because you make much money, you may not be broke. He says, after retiring, 35% of high-income earners and 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 75% of high-income earners and 75% of middle people live paycheck to paycheck. Debt and poverty is a bondage. If you don't plan early, you will plan later. And it is better to bear the yoke in your youth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Sorry, we are out of time. We continue next week. But we have a few minutes for me to read some few things I want you to put in mind as we go. Next week, we're going to discuss 3 categories that can result in financial nightmare instead of peace. People with income problem, people with spending problem, people with both. And the praise team, you can start coming on. We don't need to call you, please. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is some of the quotes I want you to remember as we go into next week. He who does not work, let him not eat. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon many waters, so that you may reap. Financial infidelity is bad. And then I said here, let not confuse contentment with apathy or lack of ambition. There is a way you can manage money that can render you unqualified to ask God for a raise. Let us not confuse contentment with apathy or lack of ambition. There is a way you can manage money that can render you unqualified to ask God for a raise. Blessed be the name of the Lord.